So, hello everyone. My name is Patrycja Węgrzynowicz, and today I'm going to tell you about the security, or rather insecurity, of JSON Web Tokens. First, a short introduction. I've been doing professional software development for over 20 years. My interests focus on patterns and anti-patterns in software. I work on tools for automatic detection and refactoring of software defects, such defects as, among others, security vulnerabilities. So basically, security is my daily job. Let's move to today's agenda. First, a brief introduction to JSON Web Tokens, just for all of us to be on the same page. The key part of today's talk involves four demos that reveal some security problems with the spec, the implementation of tokens libraries, or some problems with our applications. There are a number of caveats concerning JSON Web Tokens, and we'll start with the first difficult question, which is, how do we actually pronounce it? And it turns out it's not a piece of cake. As a native Polish speaker, I pronounce it as JWT. In English, I usually hear the pronunciation as JWT, but the RFC suggests the same pronunciation as the English word JUT. By the way, JUT in English means a brief informal note, just as JSON Web Tokens are short, less formal tokens. However, in today's talk, I will pronounce it as JWT. Why? I'm not a native speaker, so I'm not sure whether I pronounced JWT clearly enough. Plus, from my experience, majority of developers are used to JWT pronunciation. So, a JSON Web Token is a set of claims that encode user's identity and usually user's permissions. It also consists of a digital signature to protect its content against tampering. It's always handy to look at some sort of an example. We see that a JSON Web Token is a very long string consisting mostly of letters and numbers. We can recognize three parts separated by dots. These three parts are a header, a payload, and a signature. All three base64 URL encoded. When we decode these three parts, we see that a header and a payload are just JSON strings. The header contains an algorithm used to generate a signature. In our example, it's HS256, HMAC with SHA256. The payload contains the actual claims of a token. In our example, it contains four claims: subject, issued at, issuer, and expiration. And the signature is just a binary content. Here we also see the very first problem of JWT: the lack of confidentiality. The tokens are not encrypted. They are only encoded. So it's easy to decode them and see all data available in claims. Therefore, the first advice: we should avoid enclosing any confidential data in our claims. A JSON Web Token is generated on the server side, then it's stored on the client side, usually in the session storage. Then, with each subsequent request, the token is transmitted to the server, usually as part of the authorization header, as you can see on the screen. Then, on the server side, the token is verified, and in case of an incorrect token, the request is rejected. It sounds very simple. So now it's time for the reality check. let's take a look at some security problems of JSON Web Tokens. Before the first demo, some organizational information. I will need your cooperation during demos. I would like to show a live hijacking of your accounts. So my kind request to you, please go to the demo application, the link available at my Twitter account, and also you can see it on the screen. Please register and log in, and we can start our first demo. So the first demo reveals a problem with the NON algorithm. In JWT spec, there are only two mandatory algorithms. The first one is HS256, and the second one is NON. NON basically means no algorithm, no signature. I have a demo application prepared. I will show you how to use the NON algorithm to bypass server verification. So now I'm switching to my application, logging in. You can see that's a very simple application. It just displays a profile and all active users. Thank you for your cooperation. There are 12 users registered, so that's quite a lot. And now I will switch to my fake token. I have a token prepared and ready to use. This token uses a NON algorithm, and the subject claim is set to 4. The subject usually identifies a user. In this case, the number 4 is the ID of a user. So for me, it's enough to copy the token, switch back to the application. I've opened the developer's tools in my Chrome browser. You can see that the session storage has one value, a key value pair. It's our token. And now I will replace my token with the one I've prepared for the NON algorithm. Now it's enough to refresh the page. And Jim Gog, your account has been hijacked. Congratulations. So that was as simple as that. Why was such a token accepted by the server? Because we have a vulnerability in our code. And unfortunately, it's a mistake one can make very easily. What's the mistake? At first sight, our verify method looks fine. However, it's not. We've used the parse method, which only decodes the token and does not verify a signature. So instead of parse, we should use parse claims JWS. It's dependent on a library we use, and I must admit that the naming in this library, IO JSON Web Token, is not very intuitive. And it's not the only library with the NON problem. Check out this entry in National Vulnerability Database. Prime JWT had a similar problem, which was found in 2018, so only 2 years ago. There are three main problems revealed by our first demo. The first problem is the presence of the NON algorithm in the RFC. I guess that the intent was to use the NON algorithm in some sort of a controlled environment, like an internal network. However, even in such cases, it's not recommended from the cybersecurity point of view. The second problem is the misleading APIs in JWT libraries. And the last but not least problem is with us, developers. We often don't read manuals. We use samples found on the internet. So such mistakes tend to happen. To protect our code against such problems, we should understand our library in use. We should check out vulnerability databases, and additionally, in our code, we should require a specific algorithm and a key during verification. Why should we require a specific algorithm and key? Because otherwise, we can end up with serious security vulnerabilities in our code. Like this one, when a hacker can trick a vulnerable application to change the algorithm to HMAC-SHA instead of RSA. Or another vulnerability where a hacker can provide his own public key for the server to verify a token. And actually, the library followed the standard, and that was the root cause of vulnerability. The standard specifies that a JSON web key representing a public key can be embedded with the header. That's another problem with the standard. And we should keep in mind the main paradigm of cybersecurity. Never trust a client. Okay, so let's move to the second demo. The second demo is a demonstration of a key cracking of HS256. HS256 stands for HMAC with SHA-256, hash-based message authentication with SHA, and the algorithm requires a secret key. It's a symmetric algorithm, which means that the same secret key is used for generation and verification of a signature. And as this is a symmetric algorithm, once you get to know a secret key, you can generate your own tokens to be accepted by the server. So now I will log back to my own account. Our demo application uses HS256 as an algorithm. We can check it out on JWT.io page. We see that the algorithm is HS256, and we have four claims: JWT demo as an issuer, and the subject is one, I'm the first user registered. Okay, for password cracking, I will use Hashcat. Hashcat is a free and open source password cracker. Oops. Sorry, it's not a password cracker. They call themselves a password recovery tool. So I've grabbed a real token, and I will pass this token to Hashcat. I have a simple script ready just to perform a brute force attack against JWT tokens. So I will try to do this now. Hashcat supports many various algorithms, plus it makes use of GPU. And with GPU, brute force cracking is much, much faster than with simple CPU. Okay, so our password has been cracked. It's simply Java. It was a simple password. So now how can we use it? We can change a subject to, for example, 8. I will use my cracked password. And now we have a new token ready to use. And I will try to replace my original token with this newly generated one. Refreshing the page, and now I'm logged in as WSC. Congratulations, your account has been hijacked. So you can see that on my laptop, which is a MacBook Pro with an i7 processor, and an embedded graphic card, the speed of password cracking was roughly about 5 million hashes per second. So pretty fast. When you use a virtual machine with many GPUs connected, it will be much, much faster. So the obvious problem revealed by our second demo is the weakness of our secret key. Another problem is that for the key cracking, the hacker needs only one token, and all cracking is done offline without any communication to the verification server. Therefore, there is no method to detect such a brute force attack, and the victim remains unaware of the attack. And once a hacker knows the secret, he can generate whatever token he desires, impersonating whatever user he desires. And it turns out it's pretty complicated to adjust our keys and algorithms properly, as there are so many algorithms available and different kinds of keys possible. So basically, there are four main algorithmic families. The first two are the most popular, HMAC with SHA and RSA with SHA. As it comes to HMAC with SHA, the recommended key length is as long as the length of the hash. So for HS256, at least 32 bytes. It's worthwhile noting that it's a symmetric algorithm. So the shared key is used for a generation as well as for the verification of the tokens. Therefore, in case of a scalable infrastructure, the secret key must be present on each server. So when one server is compromised, the entire system is compromised. In case of RSA, the recommended key length is 2K bits at a minimum. RSA is an asymmetric algorithm, so it uses a separate public and private key, and only authentication servers store the private key, and verification servers use only the public key. So therefore, the attack surface in such a case is decreased when we have a scalable infrastructure. In my third demo, I will steal one of your tokens by packet sniffing. So I will log into my server. It's hosted on Oracle Cloud. I'm already logged in. I will run TCP dump. I have a simple script ready to use because TCP dump is pretty complicated to use. You have to set up a lot of different parameters. Okay, so I'm running TCP dump and looking for a bearer keyword. So usually bearer is associated with the authorization header and JW tokens sent in HTTP request. So now I have a kind request to you. Please refresh your pages. Just for me to capture your tokens. Okay, so tokens are coming. Thank you. The first one, I will copy this one. And again, the attack is just to replace the token in a browser. Refreshing the page. And again, Jim, it was you. Maybe we will try another token, just to hijack another user. Okay, so many tokens coming. I need to stop it. Okay, this one. Okay, random guy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thank you for your cooperation. So as you can see, the problem is that the stolen tokens have been sent over unencrypted channel, HTTP. So such packet sniffing can be done on each server the packet comes through. And another problem is that those stolen tokens can be freely used as long as they are valid. So that's why it's so important to set up a correct expiration time. So in our fourth demo, we will use an SSL vulnerability to steal a valid token. We will switch to HTTPS version of our application. And we will exploit a stored XSS, which is present in the home page field. So I'm switching to HTTPS version. I will post a link on my Twitter account. Please use HTTPS version now. Again, logging to my application. And now I have a malicious script ready to steal a token. I will save this script in my profile, and any other user trying to access my profile will trigger the JavaScript, and his or her token will be sent to the evil server. And the only thing for the hacker will be to sit and observe upcoming tokens. Okay, so this is the malicious JavaScript. I will update my profile. And now when you refresh the page, you see that under my name, there is a link. When you click this link, okay, the script is nice enough to inform that your JWT has been stolen. So please click the link, and I will observe the upcoming tokens. I'm logging to my hacker server. Please click my Patricia's profile on the active users list, and we will see the token coming to the evil server. Okay, so some new tokens coming in. Let's copy it and replacing my original token, refreshing the page, and I'm logged in as John. So thank you, John. You've been the first to click the link. Let's take a look at the malicious JavaScript. The only tricky part of the script is that we do not connect to the evil server directly. We connect via loading the link as an image source. This way, we bypass the same origin policy implemented in browsers. So the problems with our fourth demo. Obviously, we have an XSS vulnerability in our applications, and there is no way to block access to session storage from JavaScript. So the best way to avoid such problems is to avoid XSS. Also, we can consider using a hardened cookie as a storage mechanism for JWT. Hardened cookies use such flags as secure, HTTP only, and same site. For example, HTTP only blocks access to cookies from JavaScript. But in case of hardened cookies, we need to protect against CSRF. So it's a balance. And to protect against token hijacking, OWASP provides a solution based on a random secure value sent in a token as well as in a hardened cookie. So if you want to know more about the solution, please go to the OWASP web pages and see that yourself. So this is only the tip of an iceberg when it comes to JWT security. In addition to algorithm implementation, protecting against eavesdropping, XSS, we should consider logouts and timeouts as basic hygiene for safe applications. And unfortunately, JWT does not provide any built-in feature to revoke a token or expire a token after inactivity period. So again, it's for us developers to implement those things correctly. A fool with a tool is only a fool. We developers can't be fools. So we need to know how to use our tools wisely. The fundamental paradigm of development is continuous learning. So as developers, we must keep learning. So thank you. That's all for today. Thank you for your cooperation. And now it's time for your questions.
Thank you so much, Patricia. We have one question that came on Twitter that I find very interesting. Can we bring that up, please? Yeah, there we go. Question for DDConf. Sounds like JWT tokens are fairly susceptible to offline attacks, packet sniffing. What are the thoughts on recommended time validity length for a JWT token?
I would say those are quite similar to cookies timeouts. Like it's like 3 or 5 minutes for important applications and up to 30 minutes for regular applications. Plus, we can also consider implementing solution with refresh tokens, access tokens, and refresh tokens. So those actual tokens can have very short validity period, like 3-5 minutes. And then we use refresh token just to refresh and obtain another access token.
That's interesting. Thank you. Thank you, Jim Gold. He is live tweeting and live asking, live blogging about JDConf. And thank you so much for the question.